Hello, everybody. I'm John Locke, and I'd like to welcome you to the LockeInYourSuccess.com Trading Performance Podcast, where it's all about real traders, real problems, and real coaching. Listen up and enjoy the segment.
For those serious about becoming successful, consistently profitable options traders, now is the time to build skills in technical analysis, market analysis, and applied volatility to get those results. We have multiple memberships, starting with our Go membership that teaches rules-based trading, and our Pro membership that teaches more subjective trading. For more information, go to lockinyoursuccess.com/memberships.
When setting control points where you exit adjust at a certain price, how are you checking for those? Are you monitoring throughout the day, setting an automated trade with your broker, or are you simply checking at your daily checkpoint time? So good question. The way I do it is I've got it marked on the chart, and I'll show you an example of it. I just want to speak to the timing of checking in on it first. I'll set alerts, which I think is just good trader hygiene in case you're away from the desk. And I'm also going to monitor, now whether I'm going to wait to the end of the day or not, I'm going to monitor the intensity of a move. Let's say that one of the control points is in play, you know, it's being threatened, so to speak. I'm going to monitor the intensity of the move. We're just kind of grinding down towards it. You know, I'm going to wait to the end of the day. That's generally a hard and fast rule for me to wait to the end of the day. The only exception to that rule would be the intensity. Like if we break a crucial support and the market just comes crashing through, then I will make an intraday adjustment or try to mitigate risk. Otherwise, I'm going to wait till the end of the day. My trades are done manually. You can automate them, but like if I'm trying to just, you know, roll down some, do a two-step, let's say the market's breaking down under my control point. I know I'm going to want to adjust and I'm going to do some kind of a Texas two-step, which is roll, say half my shorts down 20 points and my upper longs down 10. I'm not going to automate that because it may not get filled. And if the market's moving fast, I want to make sure that that gets filled. So I'm going to do that manually and try to avoid that. If you're going to put protect a position, then I might do automate that. 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to automate that execution because I want to make sure, first of all, I want to see if I can get fair price executed. Number two, I want to make sure it gets executed. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that first before I move into how I mark my charts, John.
Yes, I actually do have a comment on that. And I think this comes back to our objectives. What is the purpose for the control point and what time frame is the control point? So I guess as a blanket statement, I would say I would adjust or pay attention to a control point when the bar in the time frame that I'm using is imminent that it's going to close beyond my control point, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So if I'm doing a 60-day trade, I'm on a daily chart, and I have a control point at 1,000 and the market goes intraday to 1,010, I really don't care. If it looks like it's, if I'm at you know, quarter of five, you know, quarter of four or half an hour before close, and it looks pretty imminent, it's gonna close beyond my control point, I'll make my adjustments. Other than that, I'm not gonna touch it midday or anything like that. If I'm in a 10-day trade and I want to make intraday adjustments and I'm focused on the 90-day chart, then I'm going to wait for a close on my 90-day chart that's imminent. Or if I'm looking at a 5-minute chart, if that's my choice, I'll do it. I'll take action on that control point when my 5-minute bar closes. And then, of course, if I'm using a 5-minute chart, there's a decent chance that might reverse during the day, and I may end up at the end of the day reversed out of that trade. But that's kind of how I pay attention to control points. It all depends on the time frame I'm trading and the time frame or the purpose for the control point.
Okay. Let me just kind of show you folks how I mark my charts for control points. And let me know if you can see the SPX.
I can see the SPX.
Okay. So what I do is I know it's kind of messy, but just follow my drawing here. I want to first map out what I think a range is in the market. And that's denoted by this cyan, I guess that's the color, top level, bottom level, and it's kind of put a mark in it. And I'll move this in the chart as the markets move around, right? So I kind of always want to know, because markets, right, markets go from balance to trend, balance to trend. And then obviously it can go the other way as well. And I just kind of want to mark, where do I feel like the market's in balance? Now, that's not necessarily in relation to the trade I have on. This is just telling me, you know, the market's likely to stay in this fairly wide range. And that's what this tells me here. Now, as far as my trade that I have on, then I'll have control points, and I have two of them usually, where, you know, I might need to adjust here, and at that level, at this level, if it doesn't bounce, then I need to either exit the trade or reconfigure my strategy. And then to the upside, obviously, if that gets breached, then, you know, I have certain actions. But right now, the risk, or the more likely, is you know, a breakdown from here that I want to be more concerned about. So that's kind of how I mark my charts as it relates to setting the range. Two things: setting the kind of range that I see the market kind of staying in, one, and then number two, where control points in terms of where I need to make adjustments for my trades.
I really like that. And cool. One of the things that I just wanted to point out is, I mean, I would have the same sentiment about where the market's going to range. And notice how I traded it in the examples we just did.
Yeah.
Right? Bearish at the bottom, bullish at the bottom, bearish at the top. And then if we break the control point, then we're likely to set a new range. So you're going to reconfigure to deal with the likely new range, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And so that you know, it's kind of like, as long as my trade can handle.
And this is a technical control point, right? Not a positional control point, because you might have positional control points within that.
Right, right. It depends on what I have going on. But this is kind of like, for most of my positions, if the market's staying in this area, I'm doing nothing. Not too worried. But, you know, it keeps you from over-adjusting. It's kind of like, take no action. You know, depending on what trade you have on a strategy, but generally what I have on is going to be fine in this range, but
right. So let's talk. Can I just bring something up, because there's something going through my brain here. So within this technical control area, right, or this control area, if you have control points that you have on your trade because you're taking on too much risk, say I have a downside problem on my trade and I'm still well above my technical control point, my down adjustments should be kind of be focused on reducing risk.
Yeah,
especially if I get near the bottom of this. So say I get near the bottom of this, and I'm triggering positional control points. I want to adjust my trade, less risk to the downside, more positive delta. Less risk to the downside, more positive delta, to get ready for the pop. And if I'm wrong, then I take that less risk to the downside, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the opposite on the top. And then if I'm in the middle, I'm just kind of. Yeah, I just have to trade the trade by the guidelines and just wait it out, basically.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. I think in some sense, it simplifies the technical analysis during the week. What I mean by that is, you know, Sundays is prep day for me, looking at the charts, start top down, right? The monthly, the weekly, and then drill down in the daily, maybe in probably the hourly, and develop this. You know, for each market that I'm in, set my control points. But then during the week is for me, and this goes back to self-awareness that you have to develop. I know I'm going to be vulnerable to talking myself out of stuff or into stuff that I'll look back on and say, did I take crazy pills? Right. So, right. Like, so. This anchors me that when I was in a calm state of mind, very relaxed and looking as objectively as possible on a Sunday, right? I mean, who's not relaxed on a Sunday? That this keeps me from making stupid decisions and talking myself. Like, oh, maybe, you know, this white dotted line is the 20 moving average. I'm just making one up. Say we close below that. Oh, we're going to, you know, it's crash time. you know, no, right. I've got the control point here. It's just probably meaning we're going to come here. So doing this sort of, this is almost like a process thing, helps me from overthinking during the week, which is when your emotions can flare up, whether it's during the market or outside the market. I mean, it's generally during the market, right? It's you know, a scenario is it's towards the, you know, it's my check time on Tuesday. The market's had an aggressive move down. Let's say it moved down to here. And I didn't have this sort of framework in place. I might over-adjust the trade. When in reality, what I should have done is what John kind of mentioned is I'll mitigate some of the down risk, but play the positive delta for the bounce as would be expected because this is a former breakout area, right? So we usually test former breakout areas and, you know, take off to some degree, or maybe we hit the bottom and just stay in this range. Either way, you know, I want some positive delta. But this just really keeps me grounded, sort of range demarcation and then the checkpoints, I mean, the control points. So that's something that I have to keep. I'm aware that I could talk myself into silly stuff. And so this is a way to mitigate that.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing too, is if you need a tighter range, you can go to shorter term charts and use different types of control points too, but you want to always want to keep the longer term ones in context because they're stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then let me click through if you want. I can kind of show you what I have in the other markets for that. So here's the Russell, right? So, you know, upside, I don't necessarily have a control point. I mean, we've got targets up here. I've got three price pattern targets. So, you know, this is kind of self-evident to me. You know, if we break this, we're probably going to take those out. But but we got lots of overhead stuff. So not really worried. In other words, the comment is there's a lot of overhead supply. Probably isn't going to go too far. Going to have to monitor it. So again, that's why I don't have a whole bunch of markings up here. I'm more focused on, you know, what's going to happen if the market continues to back off. And I have this, I don't know what these are, triangles, wedges, doesn't matter what they are. Mm-hmm. What you call, we broke out of one, we went back in it, we broke out of it. Now we're back down, you know, maybe we bounce here. And if that fails, then I'm going to expect a little bit more of a down move. Maybe it comes down into here, you know. So this is a very different look, right? I mean, you're not even, it's like you look at SPX, what it's doing in terms of its price action, its higher highs, higher lows, and so forth. It's very different with Russell. So you want to be aware of that. And so that's how that kind of looks. And then the NDX is compared to those two, especially, SPX is different too. I have, and everybody's going to be different. I have SPX or NDX barely hanging on to what I have called. I don't even know what this name, I guess this is my range for the week. It's barely hanging on. So it's a lot weaker relative to that for me.
Right.
Right. And if we break down, you know, for me, that's the control point. So I'm at the control point, whereas the other two markets aren't. And if we do break it down, I see it's coming down in the 17 or 16.
Yeah.
970.
Decent chance it drags the rest of the market with it.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So that's another aspect of this exercise is to say, well, what does this range, how do they look relative to each other? NDX is at the bottom of it. It's trying to hold on. You know, is it going to bounce from here or give up the ghost? Russell's kind of in the bottom third, kind of to the midpoint of its range, and the SPX similar. So they're all kind of different, but I want to be aware of how they are positioned relative to the range I have marked.
Yeah. And you know what? You don't have to be right on the range.
No, I mean,
you'll get better at it. Like, and the market doesn't always hold to solid ranges. And sometimes you have to flip your decision. You flip a control point, you flip the other direction, and then it flips back. But you're just using, the important part is you have decision points, and they're reasonable decision points. They're not going to be exact decision points. In other words, you're not always going to be exactly right with them either.
You could get a look below and fail, snap or crack. Like it goes below your control point, closes the day below, and then snaps back and goes the other way. So, it just kind of part of trading. But hopefully that gives people an idea how to set control points and a range to keep that monkey mind from overworking during the week and dreaming up all sorts of scenarios. And then you look back on, you know, early on, you'd look back at the charts on Sunday, what I thought was going to happen. And then you're like, wow, the market really didn't move anywhere. And I was acting like nuclear bombs were going off. You know, oh, it's going to break out. It's going to fall apart. Oh, no, it didn't do anything. And if I didn't adjust my trade at all, I would have made five times more money. So,
right. Yeah, exactly. There's something to, especially when you're in a choppy market, there's something to not adjusting your trades. There's definitely something to be said about that.
You really open yourself up to lots of good opportunity. If, like, and that's the phrase you always use, if you do it responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I like that two-step maneuver that takes out downside risk, but still gives you upside opportunity. So it's a nice trade-off I've made to get a downside risk in case I'm wrong, but I still have a chance to make some decent money.
Right.
If it bounces.
And that is what I have for you today. If you have any questions or comments or anything else you'd like to see on the next Trading Performance podcast, please list that in the comments and I'll personally answer your questions and comments for you. Also, I'd love to encourage you to come on over to lockinyoursuccess.com. That's LOCKE and yoursuccess.com, and check out our Trading Performance and Pro memberships, where you can find the tools you need to become a much more effective trader, regardless of the type of trading you do. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to seeing you on the next Trading Performance podcast.